For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Power Punch. Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Unfiltered, unapologetic, and unbelievably grateful my kids don't go to Harvard. You have stumbled on to another edition of Power Punch. My name is Larry Behrens. So grateful you can join us, and thanks for making the time to hang out with us. It means a lot for me. You know, I think some of you may have had that New Year's resolution, say, I'm not gonna listen to that guy anymore, but look, like that bad habit you just can't give up. Here I am again. I'm so happy to be talking with you in 2024 because, oh my goodness, we got a lot to talk about. And I don't know how you feel about 2024, but I got to be honest, I go back and forth on it. I go, it could really be great, or this is the year that not only will they pull the dirty tricks we've seen in the past, but they've been taking all this time to scheme up new dirty tricks. And we're all in trouble. Either way, it's going to be a ride. Either way, it's going to be interesting. And so we're going to spend a little bit here this morning, this afternoon, this evening, wherever and whenever you're listening, talking about what you see coming up in 2024. And when I say you, I mean me, because, you know, you can't talk to me right now. And so it's actually going to be me, but you can email me anytime you want at larry@powerthefuture.com. And we could talk about whether you think I'm crazy or whether you think I'm right on point. And it's going to be right on point, because I've never had anyone email me to tell me I'm crazy. Check that. Anyone who's not related to me, email me. Check that. Yeah, I've had lots of people email me, tell me I'm crazy, but let's get into it. And as I look ahead to 2024, here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that we are going to have a year of green bailouts and a year of potential electrical brownouts. And let me get into the second one. Let's get into the second one first, shall we? Here it is. This is from our friends at Fox News and their opinion. And this is from Jim Matheson, who wrote a really good op-ed here. And in case you're wondering, I believe he's a former congressman from Utah. And I believe, don't hold me to this, but I believe he now represents the National Rural Electric Co-ops. And so those rural electric co-ops, which are all over the country, they obviously are organized and have a group, and he's in charge of it. And he is worried, as we all should be. Get into this. American families and businesses rightfully expect their lights to stay on at a price that they can afford. And our national energy policy must embrace this fundamental promise, or so you would think. Here's the rub. Unfortunately, our country is now confronted with a harsh reality. We are quickly approaching a point where there won't be enough electricity to go around. Here we have sobering reliability assessments. Now, there's this organization, and there's going to be a few acronyms of organizations here, but I'll try to keep it straight for you. The North American Electric Reliability Corporation, or NERC. Yeah, they didn't think that one through. But anyway, it's the nation's grid watchdog. And for years, they've issued a string of increasingly dire reports that they warn where threats of grid reliability are mounting. And more frequent rolling blackouts could soon become the norm. Here's how it's going down. And I'm sure you already know this. But you see the Joe Bidens of the world, the Michael Bloombergs of the world, the Bill Gates of the world, the Tom Steyers of the world, and all of their allies and all of their groups, which are extensive. I mean, the money gets into the billions when you talk about what they're doing. And they, you know, hold press conferences, and they meet in Dubai, and they cut ribbons, and they giggle and laugh, and they talk about how happy they are to shut down coal plants, how happy they are to shut down oil and natural gas development, and how happy they are to do these things. And then the media helps them, right? They show pictures, and look at this, there's a stack, and there's stuff coming out of it. Hey, fun fact, that's usually just steam, literal water vapor of the cleaning. Either way, they say, oh, here's what's coming out of it. Wouldn't you rather have these picturesque, bucolic windmills and just go back to a happier time? Yeah, they want you to go back to a happier time, except that time is the Stone Age, and nobody was really happy. And that's what they are proposing. So they take these things that are reliable. As you know, wind and solar don't work if the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine. And let me let you in on another little secret too. While they may call it renewable, the devices they use to capture them aren't renewable. In fact, they're actually pretty dirty, judging by environmentalists' own standards. And so these are all the lies. These are lies that we cover all the time. But what they've managed to do is they've managed to throw regulations on these productive energy plants. Let's say it's a coal plant or natural gas or oil plant. And let's say in this case, to stretch the analogy, let's say you own a car. And the government comes in and says, hey, listen, you need to get better windshield wipers on your car. And you're like, oh, that stinks, but okay, an extra 40, 50 bucks. I'll upgrade my car to do that. And then they come back and said, I'm sorry, you got to reupholster everything. Oh my gosh, new tires too? And these costs start adding up to your car as it starts aging. And then finally they come to you and say, yeah, we're going to need a whole new transmission, new head gasket, new engine block, new everything. And you're like, well, the upgrades you're requiring me to do to this vehicle are worth more, but I still use this vehicle. It's still dependable. It still gets me to where I want to go. That's what they are doing to our reliable energy plants. And they're going and they're throwing this regulation on top of regulation on top of regulation to make it unprofitable. And then they throw subsidy after subsidy after subsidy at wind. And then they have the audacity to look you in the face and say, look how expensive this coal and natural gas are. Yeah, because you threw regulations on them. Look how cheap this wind and solar is. Yeah, because you subsidized the heck out of them. And even at that, it's still more affordable and reliable to stay with the coal. But then they just make it economically feasible. And then they put people out of work. And then the worst part, they take that energy off the grid. And when they say off the grid, however many gigawatts you want to assign to it, let's say it was 100 gigawatts, well, you got to give up with that gigawatt somewhere else. And these greenies say the gigawatts will come from wind and solar. Absolutely not knowing if the wind is going to blow and the sun's going to shine. And here's the problem with it. The energy we need, the energy you are utilizing right now, if you're in your house and the light bulb is burning, that is energy that was created just a little while ago. Because over time, utilities know how much energy we need. They can predict when it's going to spike, and they can work to try to match that with power sources that meet that point. But when you put it on something as intermittent and, yes, unreliable as the sun and the wind, then you can't match it to it. Let's say you that spike energy need comes at night. Oh, what are you going to turn up the sun? You're going to turn up the wind? And these are what they're selling us. They're selling us a more expensive yet less reliable grid. And as they cheer, as they take the reliable cars, i.e. reliable plants, off the grid. And don't worry, cars, we'll get to you in a second. You're just a metaphor now, but we'll get very literal real soon. As they take those off the grid, our demand isn't going down. We're using more electricity than ever, and we're going to continue to use more electricity than ever, especially if we all buy those cars that they're telling us to buy. So just at the time that they are enforcing rules that drive energy demand through the roof, they're taking reliable energy off the grid, and that's how you get a recipe for rolling blackouts and brownouts. And I gotta warn you, that group, the NERC, that does that reliability study every single year, where they're out with their new one, came out a couple weeks ago, and you know what it said? I got bad news for you, if you're listening to me in Missouri. It said we're at high risk of rolling blackouts by the year 2027. Given the energy that's gonna come off the grid and given the demand that's gonna grow, we're at one of the highest risk parts in the United States because Joe Biden has brought this war into our homes. That's before he even touches your gas stove. And so as we get into 2024 and Joe Biden's going to talk about his clean energy and his investments. No, he has Chinese solar panels that aren't done in a clean way. They're done with slave labor, with metals that are mined in China by slave labor and metals that are mined in Africa by child labor. It's a lie. The way that you signal that you hate the environment, buy an EV and get solar on the house. It really is that simple. Is this the way? And the article asked the question, I'll ask it to you as well. Is this the way America is supposed to be? And the answer is obviously no. Hey, Missouri, don't feel so bad. We're not the only one. 9 states experienced rolling blackouts at the end of 2022 as demand for electricity outstripped supply during a period of extreme cold. In its 2023-2024 winter reliability assessment, NERC warned that half the nation faces the same risk during extreme weather this winter. Looking further in the future, this is what I'm telling you about. Over the next 5 years, forecasts call that all or parts of 19 states, from Montana all the way down to Louisiana, are at high risk of rolling blackouts during normal peak conditions. Not if the weather's really hot or really cold, during normal conditions. They are taking reliable, affordable energy off the grid, destroying the jobs, destroying communities, and they're taking away our ability to have electricity. Now, make no mistake, the lights will stay on at the White House, and they have to, because we learned this week. Well, before I get into this, let me just share, shift gears real quick here. But yeah, rest assured, the lights will stay on at the White House. Joe Biden will be just fine. But, you know, you see those environmental activist kids, those ones, you know, throwing, I don't know, cans of soup at the Mona Lisa, gluing themselves to a road somewhere, and you think to yourself, oh, what a bunch of idiots. Oh, I'm so glad that my kid didn't go to Harvard. I'm so glad that's not my kid. That kid's not employable. They're just mad because, you know, they got their underwater basket weaving gender studies degree and now no one will hire them. And so this is what they do all day, living off their trust fund. I got bad news for you. Joe Biden's about to give them something to do all day. And he's announcing it this week. This is from the White House. President Biden is announcing a new initiative to train young people in high demand skills for the jobs in a clean energy economy. Take it in, boys and girls. The American Climate Corps will put a new generations of Americans to work conserving our lands and waters, bolstering community resilience and other things. Oh my gosh, that's a lot of commas. He's creating the American Climate Corps. So those boneheads who are throwing paint at priceless pieces of art that are blocking the traffic, they're going to have a job. And it's going to be paid for by you and me and everyone in that pays taxes. I guess that's probably fewer and fewer. It's certainly not those kids. No, no, no. There's no taxes on the iPhones. I guess, you know, when the DoorDash brings you your organic avocado toast to your high rise in New York City, I guess there's probably tax on that. Anyway, so they're going to hold, it's happening this week, virtual listening sessions. Oh, this is just gonna make you puke a little bit. This is from the White House again. As we gear up for the successful launch of the American Climate Corps, we want to hear directly from you. That's why we're hosting virtual listening sessions. Yeah, they don't want to see you face-to-face. Trust me. They want to hear your ideas on how to shape this historic initiative. Each listening session will feature a special guest. That's right. Who? Now, picture in your mind. Before I tell you who the special guests are, I bet you if I give you 3 guesses, you'll get at least one. Okay, so the special guests are, ladies and gentlemen, will they please come to the clean energy stage? Ed Markley, he is a senator. I don't know what state he's from, but Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yes, AOC. You can be in a listening session with AOC. White House National Climate Advisor Ali Zadi. AmeriCorps CEO Michael Smith. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland. And more. The listening sessions, which you can sign up for on the White House right now. I'm sure they don't want to hear from me, but they start on the 11th, which is what, Thursday? And then there's 3 more after that. And here's the fun part. Here's the stuff I really like. Given the level of anticipated interest, we ask participants to please keep comments to under 3 minutes. They want to hear from you, but they don't want to hear from you that much. They don't want to hear. So the good news is, I know you were worried about the crazy kid climate protesters. Well, Joe Biden's going to give them all a job. Sure, you're going to have to pay for it, but you and I know what's going to happen here, right? This is another wing of the Democratic leftist party, and they're trying to get it spun up really quick before the election. This is just going to be another wing that they can mobilize, and in this case, you and I get to foot the bill for it. Isn't that fantastic? Oh, I told you 2024 was going to be the year of it, and we even haven't even gotten to the bailouts yet. Hey, we'll get to that next. We're going to talk EVs, and we're going to have a whole lot of fun. Thanks so much for listening. You got it right here on Power Punch.
Get more Power Punch at newstalkstl.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Get charged up on the truth. You're listening to Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to another knowledge bomb that is Power Punch. So grateful you're here with us. Hey, as I mentioned before, but I'll mention it again. My name is Larry Behrens. I'm Communications Director for Power the Future. You can check us out anytime, powerthefuture.com, or send me an email, Larry at powerthefuture.com. I would love to hear from you, and I guarantee you I'll give you more than 3 minutes than Joe Biden will give you at a climate core meeting. That's a win-win for everybody, maybe except for me. Hey, listen, let's get into... We talked a little bit before about the things Joe Biden is forcing us to change, and he is working overtime, as you know, to force us to buy the electric vehicles. And there's some interesting things coming out this week. And as we look at predictions for 2024, I got a bold one for you. I got a bold one. This is going to be the year the EV bubble bursts. And that means Joe Biden is going to be writing checks for the bailouts. Come with me as you will. This is in the Daily Caller. And a story that seems to be becoming increasingly common as time goes on. The Western Journal reported this week about a Canadian EV owner experiencing some massive sticker shock over the cost of replacing the damaged battery in his electric vehicle. That's exactly what happened. Let's get to the story, shall we? He was shocked when he discovered that it was going to cost him more than what he originally paid for his electric car just to replace the vehicle's battery pack. Here's what happened. Kyle Hsu bought a brand new Hyundai Ioniq 5. He bought it 2022 at a cost of about $42,000. Now, it's up in Canada, so I'm doing the conversion for you. That's a lie. No, I'm not. I'm reading from the article. It says, less than a year later, he had a small accident that led to some gouges and warping in the battery protector cover on the car's undercarriage. The small amount of damage led to a shocking and disheartening situation, and the owner is going to cost him thousands. So he took the car to dealership where he purchased it, and he asked him to assess the damage, and what they told him was pretty amazing and infuriated him and should serve as a warning to anyone looking to buy an EV. So he posted a video about it, and what they found out was that the cost to replace the battery for it came out to $46,000. Now, remember, he paid just under $42,000 for the car new. So the cost to replace the battery was more than the cost of the car new. And that's a cost of, you know, what? $4,000 more than what he paid for when it was new. So he's now in a dilemma, neither which is good. His first choice is to pay for the repair. And that means essentially, guess what? You have to buy two cars, but you only get one, right? When we're talking about the total cost, not a great choice. Option two was to contact his auto insurance provider, and this is up in Canada, and tell him the issue so that they could cover his loss. So that's a bad option too, because the repair cost came in at more than the cash value of the car, so the insurer would deem the car a total loss. And since it was a loss as a result of an accident, the man was told his insurance premiums would go up by as much as 50%. So it's going to cost him thousands either way. And these are the things that are coming out now that we see with the bubbles going to burst. And that's not the only issue. There's issues with charging as well.
Hey, I'm just doing a quick little video here just to give people an idea of how much energy it takes to charge an electric vehicle. I'm at Electrify America. This is a 350 kilowatt station. I'm consuming roughly 137 kilowatts. It'll fluctuate. Sometimes I can go up to the full 350. But to put this into perspective, an average home consumes 1.25 kilowatts per hour. 135 kilowatts per hour, it's like the equivalent of 106 homes on the grid, just this one station. Now, if I was going to get the full 350 kilowatts like these can supply, that would be the equivalent of 280 homes. Now, think about all six chargers running at full capacity. That's like 1,080 homes on the grid. Just a little food for thought. People don't realize the amount of energy it takes to fast charge these batteries. It's a huge amount of electricity. And now you understand why the electric companies can't even supply that much power to one spot. Think of 1,600 homes and how much copper and wire that would take.
Yeah. Yeah, the chargers take a while, and they take, apparently, a lot of money. You may be asking, how much does it cost to build one electric charger? So far, the answer is, if the federal government does it, $7.5 billion for a single charger. No, that was not a stutter. $7.5 billion. This is from the Washington Free Beacon. The Biden administration touted opening its first taxpayer-funded electric vehicle charging station as proof that Bidenomics is delivering for Americans. Well, just days after the opening, the station sat empty. So this inaugural station, it opened on December 8th. That was a whopping 2 years after Joe Biden allocated $7.5 billion to build electric vehicle chargers across the country. It's located in London, Ohio. Now, that's a small town, it says, situated just southwest of Columbus. And it features an Arby's, a Cinnabon, and plenty of merchandise. It also features few to no users. And so let's just go through the timeline here, shall we? This is the timeline of Joe Biden going to usher in the green future. He gets $7.5 billion because, according to him, the only reason people aren't buying EVs is because, gosh darn it, there's just not enough chargers. And then so he gets $7.5 billion. Over 2 years later, gets around to actually building one, and no one is using it. It is not being used at all. And I got to tell you, I experienced this as well. I was at, I'll just tell you where I was at. I was in Branson over the holiday weekend, packed shopping center, doing that last minute shopping. There were about 10 to 13 prime parking places. And guess what? They were empty. And guess what they were? I'm starting to wonder if we should not just start parking our car there. And let's see if there's a complaint and let's see if there's a tow. But you know who wouldn't want us to do that? Mayor Pete says, nah, do not do that. In fact, here's what Mayor Pete said.
You got any theories as to why the adoption curve may not be what some forecasted a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I mean, at the outset, I want to make clear it's still growing. It's just a matter of the rate of growth. But we are seeing it go through some ups and downs. We need to make sure that we keep pushing the upfront cost, the sticker price of EVs into a range where more and more Americans feel like it's to their benefit and feel confident making that choice. But we know that there are going to be some fluctuations. We also have to make sure there's the charging infrastructure to support that for long road trips. And simultaneously, we need to make sure that there's a level of education domestically about the charging capacity many people already have and don't know it. What I mean by that is a majority of Americans live in a single-family home where they might be surprised to realize that all you need technically for charging infrastructure is a plug in the wall. Of course, some people might get a level 2 charger or something that's a little faster, but a lot of people have more capacity than they already realize for charging these EVs.
Doesn't that sound eerily familiar? He wants to educate you good about EVs, because gosh darn it, you just don't know. It's kind of like the thing they're doing, the switch they're doing right now with the economy and the border. It's great. You just don't know. Quit believing your lying eyes on the border. Quit believing your lying wallet in the grocery store. We just need to educate you. If you only knew what success looked like, you would know this is success. What? And doesn't it sound eerily familiar to when Hillary said that Trump supporters would need to go into re-education camps? Is that her words? Why is that the leftist / Marxist answer? I guess that's the answer before they take power, because after they take power, they just automatically force you to do it. But why is it that their answer isn't like, just own up to your failures? I'm not naive. I'm not dewy-eyed when it comes to politics. Truth has always been the first casualty in politics. I get that. There's nothing new to that. But I can't even call it deception, because deception has a hint of that the person who is lying to you is trying to evade. This is someone telling you that the reality is different than what you are experiencing. That is literally, it's raining outside and they tell you it's a bright sunny day. You are experiencing 180 degrees opposite of what they're trying to convince you is true. That's, I think that goes beyond deception. Deception has an element of guilt that they feel bad about that. They stopped feeling bad a long time ago. And this is the era of politics that we're in right now, right? Anything that they can construe as good economic news. Oh, in fact, it happened this week, right? More jobs. We had more. The jobs report is fantastic. Bidenomics is working. Well, let's check under the hood on this. Well, it looks like the biggest growth sector of jobs was Joe Biden's bureaucracy, because the biggest growth sector was government jobs. And in fact, you took the numbers from the previous month and revised them down like you've done every single month. This first jobs report, it's always revised down. They never, isn't it funny? I want to see them revise it up. Oh, we were wrong. There's actually more jobs. No, it's a lie. And so when we talk about this level of obfuscation, we start to see, and I haven't touched the border yet, man, there's so much. We start to see why the I call them, people call them the elite. I call them the luxury of detachments. They have this luxury of detachments where they do not have to live under the rules that they are forcing upon the rest of us. And the rules that they're forcing upon the rest of us are no good. So back to the article. Those of us who have always driven internal combustion engine cars have at one time or another been faced with big repair bills for some of those vehicles, but not that big. And so this guy says he wrote a story in September about a fellow in the U.S. decided to junk his paid-off EV when he got an estimate of $30,000 to replace the battery. Now we see frequent reports that auto insurance companies are charging higher rates for EVs than comparable internal combustion cars, due in large part to the extravagant battery replacement cost. And I want to know, have you seen, like, and I know folks don't usually do this, but I would be interested, like, to call up an insurance agent, because insurance is already going through the roof, right, thanks to Bidenomics. And just ask them, like, what to a comparable sedan, internal combustion or EV, what is going to be the insurance difference on each one? And they'll, I have a feeling it's going to be insane. And that's what this article says. This is insane. It's not sustainable. The EV industry simply cannot have stories like this one popping up with increasing frequency. And there's more. This is even before we talk about range anxiety, lack of charging, unreliability, non-recyclability of the battery and materials. These are all things that are coming to pass with the EV. And that's why I said the bubble has burst with the EV market. I think there is, and folks have said that the people who could afford the expensive EVs to show them off and to virtue signal the rest of us largely have purchased them. They have theirs. And so I don't know if they're not going to purchase one every single year, but maybe they will, maybe they won't. And so their market, which is, I think, currently at 1% to 2%, is saturated. That's why you see massive pullbacks. That's why you see massive bailouts. And you know what? I see the clock running up against me. We haven't even talked about the bailout, but let me just put one little seed in your head before we get to the break here. It's not going to be pleasant. Did you know there is a rule in Congress that allows California to make vehicle standard rules for other states? Let me just let that sink in for a little bit. When it's not bad enough that Joe Biden makes terrible rules for our cars, he lets Gavin Newsom get in on the fun as well. And you have to ask, wait, what are you talking about, Larry? So, a number of years ago, California went to the federal government and said, we are such a big driver's market. So much of the United States driving and auto industry depends on us. We should be able to make rules that are different than the federal government's. And the leftists said, absolutely, California, you show us how it's done. You make rules that are different than the federal government's. And then leftist governors, and I think at least several states, we may get to the number here in a little bit, said, yeah, me too. And the federal government said, okay, states, okay, if you want to have the federal rules, that's fine. But if you want to get to California super califragilistic, fantastic rules, you can do that as well. And so when California changes them, it actually changes the rules here. And now who is joining that? None other than Washington, D.C. They are going by California's transportation rules. And I want to say there are 17 states have laws in place that tether their vehicle emission standards to those set in California. So as we sit here today, enjoy the fact. And I bet you, I'm looking at you, Illinois. I bet you're one of them. They say, we are no longer going to set our own rules. We're going to let California do it for us. Maybe that guy may be just replacing Joe Biden for president after all. Hey, we're up against a break. Thanks so much for listening. What are we going to talk about when we come back? Oh, yeah. Bailouts and the green grift. Stick with us.
Get more Power Punch with Larry Behrens at newstalkstl.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
You have stumbled back into Power Punch, and I'm so glad you have. It's great to be here with you. It's the last segment. How are we going to get through this together? It's going to be tough, but we're going to do it. And you know what? There'll be segments next week. Listen, if you want to listen to this show, it's podcastable. You can go to where you get your podcast and listen to it there. And you can find me at powerofthefuture.com. You can email me, larry@powerofthefuture.com, and I'll be there for you. I will. That's probably a lie. I'll get to it when I can, okay? I'm very busy. Very important because we got a lot coming up in 2024. So I've been teasing it the whole time. And I think that 2024 is going to be the year of the green bailout. And here's how it's going to work. You have these companies, no matter what they're making, EVs, windmills, solar panels, whatever. I don't care, whatever. And these things just aren't working. The American public is seeing that the bubble is bursting across it. They're seeing that they don't like wind and solar because of the huge cost and it's intermittent. It's not as good. They don't have the money for EVs, especially when we take a look at what Joe Biden has done. And see, look, I'm already distracted. I'm not even looking out the window. I'm already distracted. Let me just take a quick aside to you. There's something I told you last week, but class, it's time for a quick review, right? When he talks about Bidenomics in 2024, Joe Biden is going to talk about cooling inflation, how things are down from their height. Gas prices are down from their height. Inflation is down from its height. First of all, we all knew who established those heights, right? It was Joe Biden. So this is like the arsonist, you know, claiming credit or demanding we give him credit for torching fewer houses. That's it. So he was the cause of these record gas prices and this massive inflation. And he's going to pretend that it's cooling. What were the words I told you last week we needed to learn? Say it with me. Cumulative inflation. I'll get weedy for a second, then I'll try to bring it all back. Inflation is a measure that is not only a month late, but it's a year late. And so when we get inflation numbers, like we'll get them this month, they'll be the numbers for December. So those are things, by and large, at the grocery store you've already purchased, unless you're going to go back in time and buy something in December, which I don't think your EV will get you there. And so he's going to look in December and he's going to say, December inflation cooled. Well, okay, but that's just measuring last December to the December before that. All the price increases that you've been paying since Joe Biden took office were already baked in, as the economists say, were already baked in to that December price. And so he's just measuring from December 2022 to December 2023, and he says it is cooled. Okay? That's like your team going on a two-game win streak, and all of a sudden you're heading to the Super Bowl. because, well, we haven't lost in the last 2 weeks. We're undefeated. And you know, it's 2024 is a perfect time, right, to make all those jokes. I've been to the gym every day this whole year. No, you haven't. But you know what I mean, right? It is taking a small section of what is really being measured and pretending that that is the reality when we know it's not. When you look at cumulative inflation, and you can find the counters on the interweb all you want, go to January 2021 and plug in today, January 2024. And it will tell you that you're paying roughly 17% more for everything than you were. So the thing you used to get for $100 now costs you $117. And I would argue that's a pretty conservative estimate, but that's what Joe Biden is trying to do. He's trying to get you to look at just the last year of it. And it's all a grift. Absolutely. So cumulative inflation, boys and girls, I'm glad we could spend this time together and learn that. So 2024 is going to be the year of the green bailout. And so you're going to have these companies, and we see it. We've seen offshore wind fail in New Jersey. We saw it fail last week in New York. We see these huge, massive projects brought to you by these huge, massive companies. And these green governors have fallen all over themselves to throw money at these projects. We're going to give you tax incentives. We're going to give you the ratepayers are going to pay a little more so that you don't have to pay for this stuff. And it's going to be great because it is all for the earth in the future. And it's going to be wonderful. And then these projects fall through. The name escapes me. I want to say it was Portola, was an electric bus manufacturer. And we've talked about it before on the show, but let me just give you kind of the TikTok. In May 2021, Joe Biden has a virtual meeting because he's still scared of the Rona. Oh, by the way, St. Louis mask mandate, stick it. So he has this meeting in May 2021 because of the Rona and says, oh, this company is great. Look at what you're doing. It's wonderful. You are the future. Yeah, a month or two later, his Secretary of Energy sells her stock and it makes a cool $1.6 million in stock. Fast forward to 2023, the company files for bankruptcy. Now, this happens all during Joe Biden's term. All of these things have gone underwater and failed. And yet, in 2024, Joe Biden cannot allow that to happen because he can't have another Solyndra on his record while he tries to run for re-election. Mark my words, he cannot. And so what's he going to do? We've already seen it. These companies are going to start beating down the door to the White House to say, hey, I know you got some of that Inflation Reduction Act money. Why don't you help us out? Because, I mean, the president was there. The president touted us. You don't want us to fail on his watch like Solyndra, do you? And it almost turns into hush money, into green hush money. And if I can just, this is, I don't know, a staff organization chart that I can't make sense of. But you have John Kerry, who is the clean energy czar, I believe. Or no, he's climate czar. Yes, climate czar, John Kerry. Congratulations, hop back on your private plane. We got you figured out. Then you have the guy who's in charge of this money, John Podesta. He is the clean energy czar. John Podesta, that's right. The same who was in charge of Bill Clinton's White House. Bill Clinton had a great week, didn't we? Same guy in charge of Bill Clinton's White House is now in charge of Joe Biden's $369 billion green slush fund. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you czar number three. And oh, by the way, Podesta came to the White House from a green company that now, you know, probably gets money from the federal government. This from the Washington Free Beacon this week. Let's lap it up, shall we? Biden energy loan czar. So for those keeping track at home, climate czar, John Kerry, clean energy czar, John Podesta. We have the energy loan czar. I swear I'm not making, you know, for the administration that accused Donald Trump of all the Russian collusion, they sure love their czars, do they not? His name is Jigar Shah, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing his name. He was a major investor in a struggling green company that is in advanced talks to receive a $1.5 billion loan from the office he now oversees. What a good deal! Oh my gosh! What you have to at some point appreciate. This is what I'm saying. It goes beyond deception. You have to at some point appreciate how they will grift in front of you and try to pretend that, oh, no, it's not a grift. The guy invests in a company. Company fails. Guy goes to work for the government in charge of giving loans to the company. And then he starts giving loans to the company that he's invested in. The Department of Energy's loan office, where Shea serves as director, is working to fast track, not just like, we're going to scrutinize or we're going to see if they deserve this money. No. You don't get none of that. They're working to fast track the loan. The funding to Plug Power, it's a hydrogen fuel company on the brink of bankruptcy. But the ties between Plug Power and Shaw could add concerns from lawmakers about conflicts of interest in the federal loan program. Yeah, you think? I mean, here is what is happening with this money from the Inflation Reduction Act. It is flowing out the door so fast that even congressional watchdogs are saying this is going out too fast. If Congress is blown away that they're spending money too fast, that's like, I can't put any type of comparison to it. The analogy strains the brain. That's like Usain Bolt saying that guy runs fast. That's the best I can do for you. I mean, it is, if they are calling to tap it down, it's really a problem. So, Securities and Exchange Commission records detail a long-standing financial relationship between Plug Power and Generate Capital. It's an investment firm that Shea founded before joining the Biden administration in 2021. So, he finds an investment firm. So, he sold his shares in Generate when he entered the government, according to federal disclosures records. However, under Shea's leadership, Generate loaned over $100 million to Plug Power, one of the firm's crowning investments, according to its website. So this is how this, and the names, all the names and all the different movements are on purpose. Why do you think Joe Biden's family has, 41 different LLCs? Why do you think Joe Biden has about 40 different aliases when he emails? It's all made to be confusing. So they repaid the loan to the company at a 9% interest rate last December while they were in negotiations with the Department of Energy funding with Shea's office. And so the loans between the two private companies magically get paid, and the company that is now at the brink, who, because they paid off the loan, now gets to come to Joe Biden's administration with their handout. I don't know how much money, but it's all going to be your money. And that's where we're at right now. When I talk about the green grift, this is what it's going to look like, because they cannot have these failures under their watch. And let's just, go through it, where it's happened with the EVs this year. You have Rivian, who got caught having meetings with John Podesta at the White House, according to news reports. They won't disclose what they were talking about. Joe Biden won't disclose what they were talking about. But we know that the company has lost $1 billion 1 year, maybe $2 billion the next year. They have lost every year for the past few years. And they know that there's a green slush fund there. Now, here's where it gets really, really beyond sinister to me. Do you think for 1 second that if Joe Biden and John Podesta, political operative, agree to send however many hundreds of millions, however many billions to such a company, that they don't expect some of that money will come back to them, whether it be campaign donations or whether Hunter have a cut of it? Do you really think that that is not going to happen? And I know I just giggle at all the leftists now thinking they got the biggest gotcha in the world on Donald Trump. Look at the money he got from China, because people from China stayed at his hotels. That's the grift you're talking about. Meanwhile, they have the biggest slush fund, a budget that is bigger than the entire budget of the United States Navy, to just dole out to their friends, and then they don't talk about what they're meeting. Joe Biden, it's got to be great work if you can get it. If you're a politician and you know you're going to need money to run for re-election, send out some taxpayer money to some of your friends, and then your friends magically seem to have money available to donate to your campaign. It's magical, is it not? Mark my words, this will be the year of the green bailout. And it will look like this. You will see ribbon cuttings. You will hear words like record investment, landmark investment in this company. And it's going to create jobs in this little place. And it's going to be great. And they're going to smile and clap. And they're going to get their headlines. And not a single one of the Washington lapdog media will go back 1 year later. In fact, listen, if you're a journalist or a reporter, even if you're not, come here. Let me just gather here for a second. Do me a favor. You want a crazy experiment? Take a look at the last green site your local politicians visited. I don't care if it's solar panel field, windmill, or whatever. Look at what they announced when they cut the ribbon, and then look at the reality a year or two later, because the results are always the same. This plant is going to generate 1.21 gigawatts. And then later it's like, it wasn't that much. And it's actually costing more than we thought. It happens every single time. They expect us in 2024, in the last minutes here of the show, they expect us to have brains like goldfish. They need us to forget. And that's where I want to land on 2024. They will pretend for the next 11 months they're going to be someone different than they've been over the last 3 years. Do not let them. They are working to undermine our livelihoods and our way of life. They are working to attack the private sector and turn it over to things like the Climate Corps and to their grifters within the administration. And you can't let them. Make sure you are informed. Make sure you understand. And above all, make sure you make your voice heard in every way you can. Oh, I feel good. That's just a great place to end the show, isn't it? And that's where I'll do it. I hope to see you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Until then, enjoy Power Punch.
Get more Power Punch with Larry Behrens at newstalkstl.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL. For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.